Welcome to the Connected for Real podcast. I'm Revetzin Batren-Grossman, a marriage coach for women in business. And my mission is to bring God's presence into your life, into your marriage, and into your business. Let's get started. And we are live. Welcome everyone to the Connected for Real podcast. I'm Revetzin Batren-Grossman. And today with me is Marla. We're talking about stress and business. And ooh, this is a great topic. So first we'll start with Marla. Introduce yourself.
Thank you. My name is Marla Rattenstreich. I am a bunch of things. I'm a mother, I'm a wife, I'm a friend, but I'm also a fitness instructor, yoga instructor, meditation guide. I am a vegan chef, and I am a Jewish nonprofit professional that has spent 20 years specializing in marketing and communications and supporting women on their journey towards wellness, everything from having been a doula to a lactation consultant to fitness, nutrition, intuitive eating, and beyond.
Whoa. That was so cool. I'm like, wait, could we slow down and talk about each and everything you did? Because that's like a lot of lifetimes.
You know, when you, the old line, you know, you want something to get done, you ask a busy woman. So the best way to be busy is to learn new skills so that you can grow yourself and hopefully help others do just the same.
So that's my
motivation.
Yes. Okay, cool. So let's talk about stress. What comes up for you when you talk about stress and business? And what do you have to talk about? Like, get into it.
I think stress is a dominating reality for many Jewish women today, not only with the global landscape and politics and, you know, the pressures we're feeling all around, but also in our homes and needing to get a lot done in a short period of time. And I think another layer to that within the context of business is feeling stressed about where we're going to get parnassa, how we're going to, you know, safely and emotionally and financially take care of our families while juggling so much and being there for the people in our lives. So I think stress is dominating. I think the way people manage their stress is consuming. And I think sometimes we don't even know it's stress. And I think a business mindset is a big one because we don't always know what to do to be our best business selves because we want to pour our best versions of ourselves into the business we do. And that's really hard to figure out and actualize. So it's a big topic that we could probably go 100 different directions on. And I know it hits me hard. So I'm excited to hear where we go.
Yeah. Wow. When I think of stress in general, what comes up for me is that, I don't know where I learned it once, but whatever scientists found that stress really depended on what you believe about stress. So yes. If you believe stress is good for you and it pushes you to do things and it's like really a great motivator, like you get excited and you actually take action. If you believe stress is killing you, it actually will kill you. So
it's the same
exact stress. I think that for me turned on something to really start looking at my life and how I am seeing stress and what do I believe about stress?
Right. I think everything, I mean, this is the perspective that thank God we're blessed with, you know, and I think it manifests in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu too. Like if we can see God in everything, the good, the bad, and the indifferent, then like, that's the best relationship to have with Hashem. Hashem's not only there when the good stuff happens. Hashem's there to make us stretch when the bad stuff happens too, and everything in between. So too with stress, you know, I look at my husband and how he manages stress, just kind of like Teflon, like it rolls off and he just keeps on, keep it on. And with me, stress can be an incredible motivator, like you said, but sometimes if I don't perceive it properly, if I'm, you know, halt, like hungry, angry, lonely, tired, if I'm not in a good place, stress can be that killer. And it is a silent killer in the global population, in these fast-paced cultures where we have to do. And if it's not seen as a motivator, it can hurt us more than help us.
Yeah. When you said do, it really brought the point across for me because of like the doer and the beer, you know, like business in general is one of those things that measures you as a person by how much you get done, you know, what have you accomplished? What are you doing every day? How do you spend your time? It like squeezes everything out of you because you feel like you need to perform all the time.
It's true. And you know, it's so funny because I think about that specific like deliverables a lot. You know, in my community, whenever people see me, they say, "So where are you working now? Or what are you doing now?" And it's said with like an edge, and it's not misreading. Like it's always almost with this intonation, like judgment. Like I'm like this chaotic person who's very free spirited, and I'm jumping around, and it's a symbol of instability. And a lot of times, like to me, different things and different doings, like different accomplishments of all variety, is just another check mark in my journey towards experiencing life. And I think that's our perspective too. And it shouldn't be measured on whether you stay someone really long or you have these high level degrees or you've worked somewhere and climbed up the ladder. Like, why can't it be that our business is learning more about ourselves and being okay with it? Like, I
I
don't
love
know. I think that's it.
Yeah. You know, today I went to a new friend. I was in a playback workshop and it was very therapeutic. It was so helpful in getting over a lot of the really hard things that happened this year. And at the end of it, we were all in a circle and everybody said what they're wishing for. And there was sort of like throwing it into the circle for everyone to hold for them. And it was a very special moment because we went through all of these weeks together, you know, sort of like getting to know each other and getting to know like the deepest parts and, you know, being there for each other, mirroring and doing all these playback things. It was really, these are the things I live for. Okay. Like, this is a
I
real
hear that.
experience. I loved
Right.
it. And I think so highly of the person who ran it because she did such a good job creating this unity between all of us who just showed up with absolutely no connection to each other. And some people were really uncomfortable opening up, and she created a really safe space. And the way that she managed everybody, it was just amazing. So I think very
Wow.
highly of her. And at the end of it, like we were being so vulnerable and so open, and everybody was just throwing things in that she herself decided to throw in, like, I want my business to grow. And I was like, yes,
Oh.
everybody see, I'm into that. I was like so excited about her and what she is doing in this world, just sort of like explode and go further. And
Yes.
she found that reaction that I had so empowering that she invited me over to come and, you know, chat. So today
That's
I
so
went over
nice.
for tea and that was really fun.
Yay.
And she started asking me, how did you get there and what did you do? And she's going, you know, solo now. So she wants to really learn the ropes. And one of the things that really left her almost like, whoa. And I didn't think anything of it. Like I said it as if it was like no big deal. But you know how that happens? Like we don't appreciate ourselves until somebody else mirrors back
Until
how.
someone sees it, yeah.
Yeah. So that, you know, her superpower, of course. So I said to her, oh, she asked me if I ever learned coaching. You know, where did you learn coaching? What did you do? And I said, actually, I didn't. I don't know. It was just, it's directly from Hashem. It's these skills I have. It's an intuition. I do it. I started doing it. I saw it works. I kept going.
Wow.
And like, I was a trained graphic designer. I completely switched over my entire life about 8 years ago because of this calling that was like, okay, you got this. Go on, move on, move along, move along. And Hashem was with me the whole time. Thank you, God. She
Love
said, like, so what
that.
do you do? How do you do it? I said, you know, somebody once told me to go get training so that people take me seriously. And I said, I don't really want to do that because then I'll have to do their process. Like they're going to teach
Yes.
me a system I'm going to have to use and it's going to be under their name and I'm going to have to whatever. But like, that's not how I work. I work completely different. I work following intuition. I'm completely an open vessel. I hear, I receive, I guide. I listen to someone giving me like her life story, and I'm like, okay, this little thing, that's what we need to adjust. That's it. Everything else will fall into place. And it always does. It's so powerful. It's so amazing.
Hashem.
Incredible. And she says, how did you get to that? And I said, I realized that everything throughout my life that I thought was messed up. Like, I'm all over the place and I feel all these things that nobody understands, and I'm super sensitive. And, you know, all the things I thought were negative about me, I finally stopped thinking they were bad and started taking them as a superpower. And then once I took them seriously and started listening to them and really leaning into them, everything just fell into place because, oh, it's actually telling me something,
I love that. It's really Yad Hashem.
So that in English, just say it in English for people.
Oh, like the
Translate.
hands of God. Like, I think, there's this concept in Judaism of hashgacha pratzis, right? And I think that, and that basically translates to like serendipity. Like, there's no accidental occurrences in this world, that really there's a hand of God, there's a spiritual gift that's being given to us on a regular basis. It's so interesting. I hear you talking, and I feel so excited by your words, right? And so relatable. And like, you're speaking my language. And like, I've been desperately searching. I think so many women, whether it's business or family or whatever, and this really pulls into stress, thinks that they need to stuff themselves into boxes, right? And that they need to be a certain something, and they punish themselves. And that's part of the stress for not being something. And even in the like in your commitment to becoming a coach, like what a gift that you paused and said, I don't want to be some other kind of coach. Like, I'm my kind of coach. And there's a whole realm of, I guess you call them clients or members of the world that you're going to support women, where they need your message. They don't want you stuffed into the message of another provider. And that's so beautiful. And I think where we find that liberation and that stress relief in identifying our business and our professional journeys that matter. I'm actually like very much in the throes of this right now.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me
Can I
more
tell you
about
a
that.
crazy story? So last week, probably one of the worst things professionally ever happened to me. I'm 47. I've been working since I'm 16. I was raised by a single mom. So I started working the minute I got working papers. And I always worked to like hustle hard, have that work ethic where like I'll stay up till 2 in the morning to get the job done, like always want to provide for my family. And it's so interesting because the craziest thing happened to me this past week professionally. Like, an organization to remain nameless and the details are irrelevant did probably one of the worst things I've ever experienced from a Jew and from a human being and from an experience. And I felt sad for a moment and I felt stressed for about 2 moments. But then the third thought was, Hodzul Hashem. It's
Thank
like
you,
the
Hashem.
crazy, yeah, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for this moment, because if something extreme didn't happen, I probably would have done this for a while, and it's not me. And I really believe that, like, that's the portal to stress relief. Now, there's other layers to it, and there's a journey that I think each and every one of us goes through, whether it's a big moment or a series of small moments. But I think that at that moment, I discovered, hey, I think I get this now. I get what it means to be freeing myself of stress, even if like my whole body was like on like reaction mode, like my nervous system was like, oh my gosh, I'm spiraling. But then I really thought, okay, maybe I'm starting to master this, because this wasn't meant to be, and something big had to happen in order for me to really start moving into my ideal career, which I'm still fine-tuning. But it's an
Isn't
interesting point
it
that
amazing that you're thinking, I am on my way to the ideal career while you're living the ideal career? Because for you, the ideal career is the ability and the freedom to just learn and do and then learn more and do. And it's what we do all the time to ourselves, where it's like, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be there. And therefore, I have a journey and I'm going to have to squish myself into all these things in order to get there. Can I just be here and realize that this is exactly where I need to be right now?
totally. You called it. Like, I hope more women find that for themselves. I don't wish them to go through the struggle to get there. But, there's this peak performance moment in the space of a fitness class. And I've been teaching fitness since I was 18. So you do the math, like, very, very long time of my life. And there's these moments when you reach these peak performance where you're like, wow, I didn't know I was that strong. I didn't know I could like move that fast. I didn't know I could do 10 burpees. I didn't know that I could stay in a plank for an hour. And it sounds so simplistic, But then when you discover, like, oh my gosh, I'm stronger than I thought I was, I could do more than I thought, it's like gives you license to keep going. And I think those are the little gifts from God and from our abilities that help us reach the sky is the limit, you know?
You
It
know,
sounds
the
so
beauty thing.
cliche, but it's real, you know?
I think what we're talking about is permission to be where you are, because the stress is born from this imagined ideal place, right? It's like, I'm not where I'm supposed to be, and therefore there's something I'm missing. There is something I'm not doing. Something is wrong. And then we have to look for it, and we have to create it, and then we have to work for it, and whatever. And it's like, how about you look for what is right under your nose?
Exactly. There's a language that I always use when I work with my different clients where it's called the shoulda, coulda, wouldas, right? We've heard this before. It's like we create the sense of like where we're supposed to be measured by whether it's our community or social media or insert all the, you know, visions that we model around others. And it's like,
I'm going to
but
add the
yeah.
marriage. A lot of people find this when they get married and the husband is measuring them up to their mother, to his mother, because that's just who he knows.
Yes.
It's like, my mother was able to get supper on the table, or my mother had everything clean. My mother got us all in bed on time. My mother did this so easily and smoothly. Little does he know that she was probably falling apart. But like, he's
Right.
measuring his wife according to a completely like non-existent measurement, and she
Right.
feels so judged. And
Yes.
so it's probably one of the worst things. Women come to me, this is one of the biggest problems, is my husband is the problem usually.
And you know, but I think like everything is cleanup, which is, you know, like education, spiritual education, if you will. Like, and I think that that actually spills over from just our children, if, you know, whether if to your relationships with your partners, you know, your spouse, and even in your friendships, you know, like what we teach other people we can do is also on us. Clearly articulating our boundaries, I think, is a sure thing in preventing that stress. It's like, this is what I'm capable of doing. And using the beauty of enthusiasm, like always people say, like, oh, you're so chipper, you're so energetic. It's like, what is that coming from? Where do you get the energy? I'm like, because I'm trying to be real with myself. Like, I'm really excited that I was able to put dinner on the table while I'm working a 40-hour work week, you know, and if I can't the next day, I'm going to send a message to my family. Like, tomorrow dinner's not happening. Either you're on your own, which sounds kind of heartless. I don't necessarily frame it that way. But everything, and maybe it's like, you know, hey, here's something
Let's
for you.
reframe that. It's like,
Yeah.
today is open the fridge and find whatever you want day.
Or like make it a food challenge. Make it a like, you know, who's going to create the best main dish? Who's going to create the best side dish? Like we can color outside the lines and think outside the box when it comes to serving the people in our lives in pursuit of serving ourselves. And I think that's another vehicle towards stress relief that we don't realize it's the small steps that I'm such a cliche person today, but it's the small steps that lead to the big strides, you know, like no one just jumps out and runs a marathon. They start with the couch to 5K. So it's like the baby steps of discovering how you can manage other people's expectations so the pressure doesn't fall on you, so you don't have that stress and it impacts your business, your marriage, and all the other things. I think, I hope.
I hope so too. Listen, stress is, it's such a big word. You
Means
know,
so much.
it, yeah, every person can take stress to a completely different place.
You know what I would love to talk about? And just because I'd love your opinion, and I think people out there might need to kind of feel and understand within themselves is how people use this big word stress. Like, I'm stressed. I feel stressed. This is a stressful day, which I always, instead of saying it was a stressful day, I say this is a character building day, right? Like it's reframing. But I think people do things with stress that they don't even realize they do, that is so damaging. And the only way to change it is to recognize what it is. So some people are stress eaters. Some people, when they're stressed, they go inward and get very self-deprecating and very internally hateful, and it really affects their psyche. I think people with stress sometimes, they say things they don't mean to the people that are closest to them because they feel safest and that they won't leave them. And I think stress becomes something that can derail our entire success, but we don't know it's stress. Even if we go to therapy and even if we're self-aware, it's just something that is probably built in from when we're young.
Interesting. So, how do I like to get really practical. People are sitting there going, okay, great. So, what if I have that stress? What do I
What's
do?
my to do? What do I do? Like, what's my to do? Like, what's the prescription, lady?
Exactly. I'm sitting there going, I wonder if you have examples that can really illustrate what you're talking about and then also tell us what to do about it. So, we're all not sitting there going, man, now I don't know what to do.
Right. So, a couple things.
Now I'm stressed, type of thing,
Now what do I do? Like, I'm stressed by the concept of why I get stressed and where do I go with
Exactly. And
it?
those, by the way, are like
Like,
meta emotions, which I really love talking about because
me
when
too.
you're sad that you're sad or you're angry that you're angry, you're judging yourself for having an emotion. It ends up causing so much more pain than if you just were whatever you are, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
It's
And
true. It's
if you
true.
listen back to my brother's episode, I have an episode with my brother, Hanan Ilgez. Did you hear it?
I didn't, but it's on my list because, yeah.
Oh, it's so, he was so good. That was the best episode, I think, in my entire podcast history. So if you go back,
Wow.
just go back. It's first of all, because we're siblings. So it was a very open conversation, very loving. And he's so honest and so himself. Like it was such an authentic, beautiful conversation. And one of the things that he said there that I made him say because I just needed him to repeat it. It was the first time I heard it, was not from him, it was from my mother. And I wanted to hear it from him. So it was so powerful. People were telling my brother lost his wife and baby, just for you guys who aren't, up to date. And people were telling him, Hamakom yenachem etchem, which is like the place, God will bring you. How do you say nechama? I can't think of the
Comfort,
word. Comfort.
comfort.
Yeah. So he couldn't sleep one night and he was just thinking about it and thinking about it until he realized what is hamakom? What is the place? Obviously it's God. It's another name for God, but why do we use that name and not anything else? And he said, oh, it's the place where I am right now. If I'm sad, then I'm sad and I'm allowed to be sad. And that's what's going to bring me comfort. And if I'm happy, then I'll be happy. I'm not going to judge it like, oh, I'm not supposed to be happy. I'm supposed to be sad now. Or like, what are people going to think if I'm too happy or whatever? Like, nothing. Just be who you are, be where you are. Exactly in that place, that's where you're going to find comfort because the stress comes from that judgment of where I am. And we're talking about business, so it's where I am in business. I don't have enough clients. I'm not, far enough along. I'm not making 10, 10 figures. I'm, whatever, like all the things we have in our to-do list of like, this is what means to be successful. And if I'm not there, I'm still
Right.
not there and I have to beat myself up. All that judgment is very, very stressful. And that stress isn't helping you get there. It's just making you slow down. And the real
Exactly.
comfort is just going to be where I'm like, oh, this is where I am. Why is this the best place to be? Yeah. And
Yeah.
I had a coach who made us write at the beginning of every session, write three things that are evidence that you are exactly where you need to be and you're on the right track. And
I
I
love
loved
that.
it. I loved it.
I
And
love
everybody
that.
listening should just sit down and do that right now. Because if you could find evidence to why you're on the right track, then you're on the right track.
I love that. And, I think so too. And that's a very powerful reference and sounds like is the answer to this question. But I think that example is real enough to say, just naming your emotion, even before you write the three things that are evidence, just naming that emotion and letting it sit there and be there and not go anywhere else, but just be that emotion is a pause button. We hear all these like hot button words, pause button, pause practice. Like when it comes to this practice of mindfulness, which is the most Jewish practice ever. Like, I love that it's trending now, but we've been doing it for like a good long while, right? Like 5,000 plus years. It's like, our eternal existence, like we're always mindful because we have all these mitzvot, these commandments to do. But when it comes to our
We try
emotions,
to be mindful. I think a lot of people beat themselves up for the fact that they're not all the time mindful. And
that's
there's
okay. We're
like
humans.
the perfection thing, right? We are human and we're meant
Right.
to have those, waves of capacity.
Right. And, my theory personally for myself, having had a really challenging upbringing and choosing a life of religiosity after exploring probably every other religion than the religion of my birth, was that like it's always this comparison, it's always this pursuit for truth. But really, if you start with just banishing your benchmarks of measuring yourself up to others and just living in your emotion and just embracing it, I think that we don't even get to that place of like, where am I supposed to be? What's the place that I'm supposed to live in? And like, I love acronyms, like, that KISS acronym, like keep it simple, stupid, like render yourself stupid. We're intellectual beings. Like, this is not derogatory. We're all bright. We're all wonderful. We all have great capabilities. But like, just render yourself a little like dumb, a little like basic, and just keep it simple. Name your emotion, sit with your emotion. Validate that emotion. Take a deep breath. There are all these tools like activating your parasympathetic nervous system. There's like different things you could do with your body. There's tapping. I'm trained in somatic healing. There are things you can do to feel better in that moment. But even before, say we discuss those or not at all, but even before you entertain that, it's just like keeping it simple, naming it like your brother's beautiful journey to self after an incredibly painful tragedy. It's just, this is my makom. Don't tell me how I have to feel. I won't tell myself how to feel. This is where I am.
Right.
And I think that's the space where Hashem comes in.
I took a deep breath because it feels so good. We're not like, we're not trying to force it into something. It just feels so right. Be like, be where you are, people.
Yeah, and say a word to yourself. Like, I remember when I came back, I was doing my Buddhist thing once upon a time many years ago. I was in India in an ashram and I was learning how to breathe, right? Like, all we did was breathe, 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 visual imagery. I'm not mocking it. It's just like that was a big theme. And I came back to America and I saw everybody essentially walking around like hyperventilating. Like, I learned to breathe from like deep below my belly and just filling that breath up. Slows the mind, reduces those cortisol levels, those stress hormones. And then, like, I saw everyone hyperventilating, taking these short, shallow chest breaths, like, which is the pace we're in. And just like, if your starting point is just a breath, you're giving yourself the gift of just breathing and just slowing it down so you could kind of figure it out a little bit.
Right. I love breathing. I love breathing.
Thank you, God, for breath.
Oh, thank you, God, for breath. I think, if you could just thank God for all the things that are free, for air, for sunshine, the most basic things, water, the main thing. I have a list of all the things I can do with water that are therapy. Taking a shower, drinking a water, a cup of water. Just, washing my face, like splashing myself. It anything you do with water is therapeutic.
Even if you use a guided imagery, even if you close your eyes and picture a stream or listen to those sounds, like those nature sounds, like you like just type into your iTunes, like your Apple library, like, hey, water sounds for stress relief. Something really magical. And they've done a lot of research on brain waves when you listen. So you're right. Just that, the free things.
The free things. People are trying to like rack their heads like about what to be grateful for. I'm like, just be grateful for the stuff that is all around you.
Yeah.
It's so powerful. I remember when I was preparing for my seventh birth. I have 8 kids now, Baruch Hashem.
And I and Hara.
So I was, and we're talking about business. So this is actually really interesting. I was in a very intense coaching program and I got pregnant.
Wow.
And throughout the program, it was like a year-long program. And throughout the program, I'm basically preparing for maternity leave and trying to grow my business at the same time. It was so cool.
It's a lot. I mean, to do all that at once.
Yeah, it was a lot, but it was also so aligned and it felt so right because I wasn't fighting anything. I was just making it work for me. You know, I was like, what do I want? What is ideal? And I got so much permission in that group to just do what feels good to me and do the right thing and what's right for me and what I want and the ideal client and the ideal program. It was so fun. So fun.
Yay.
And one of the things that happened was that I met through a lot of the things I was doing a lady who teaches hypnobirthing. So, as a thank you for all the stuff she went through just with my free stuff, she wanted to give me a free session. And
Wow.
she said, okay, I'm going to count and you're going to breathe out. And I want to see how long you could breathe out. And I just took a deep breath and I started blowing and she just didn't stop counting. And
You
she was
let out
like,
like the ultimate sigh.
yeah. And she was like, whoa. And I'm like, what? You know, to me, I don't know. I've been breathing for so long, you know, correctly, and also doing all the guided meditations and, you know, all that good stuff. So it wasn't hard for me. It's just most people can't do that.
Hey, before we continue the episode, I want to ask you something. Are you ready to get answers from God directly? Feel more in love with your husband and more supported than ever? Run the business of your dreams without having to sacrifice any other part of your life? That is exactly what my one-on-one private coaching is for, and I want to invite you, just you and me, for a free deep dive discovery call. This is a 60-minute free call where I ask you lots of questions and we extract the three main things that are holding you back. I then put together a personalized plan for you where I create a roadmap of recommendations with practical steps. The call is free and so valuable in itself, so go book yours today. Now, back to the show.
It's true. So I think that they can. I just don't think they let themselves. There's such
Exactly.
a barrier. And I think it's, and that's going back to the mention I made, like, what is our personal stress? You know, like, none of us were created exactly the same. And just like we have somebody designed to fit our neshama, like, in terms of like a partner in life. And just as like everything is like pre-prescribed and like there's so much hand of God in the things that happened from the minute we entered this world to the minute we leave this world at 120, it's really important to understand ourselves so we can make the best use of the time our time here. And when we think about our stress and you know what we can do, letting that breath out that you were able to do, you know, and how you had so much more to release than maybe you had perceived. Well, there's so much more to like what's going on with us than we even perceive.
Right.
Like, you know, so many women come to me. It's so interesting. And for a long time, I was an intuitive eating coach. And I only say it in past tense is because I pressed pause on that because I felt like, you know, when you're at that point where you're just like, you're not getting it. And like, you have to take a pause so you don't bring any bad energy into the moment. Like, we have to be real with ourselves. And like, all these people are coming to me and they're like, I want to lose weight. And I'm like, so what happens when you lose weight? Like, what's your end game? Like, do you want to be healthier? No, I'll be happier. And then I'd always like tilt my head and be like, you know, you are wherever you go, you take yourself with you. So like if you're 90 pounds, you're going to be the same person as 160 pounds. It's like, what's happening and how did you get there? And that's like the intuitive piece. Like, and there's like all this psychology and self-awareness that goes into our consumption. And I know this is like a trigger topic for so many, and I don't want to go there in my messaging, but really to say that what I discovered in so many of these clients and conversations for many years is that when people feel sad or out of control or in pain, whatever it is, they eat to fill a void. And like no menu or meal plan or breath work is going to fix that. It's like we need to understand why we're doing that and why our heart feels, you know, blocked, and that's the decision, the active choice physically. You know, in this physical world. So,
Right.
you know, for some, we had powerful breakthroughs. And for others, it was just like, no. But if I just, like, I'm going to do a cleanse. And I'd be like, no. Let's go deeper. So we're all in a different
Yeah.
journey when it comes to that.
I think what you're saying is that a lot of us are looking for the external fixes because
Yeah.
going inward is so scary and, scary.
Scary.
I once had a teacher who said the most read piece of anything red is the back of a cereal box because everybody
I've
will
heard
just,
that.
open up their cereal. Take cereal, pour milk, and just sit there and eat it, trying to run away from their own thoughts. And she was the first one to say, like, see how much you could be alone with yourself. And I think in high school, it was the first time I recognized that I was not comfortable being with myself. And I had to learn to do that. And, it's been many years later. And I'm very, very grateful to her that she brought this up. But I think a lot of people aren't made aware of how they feel with themselves. And you're with yourself forever, all the time. It's the one person you cannot get away from, And that's really scary because if you don't like yourself or there are parts of you that you're trying to avoid and they keep following you everywhere you go, it's something that's really very important to treat and, deal
Yeah.
with.
Yeah, I mean, and I think if we're coming back to this notion of business, right? And like, you know how when you have children and your kids are in school and certain things are not going right in school, and then you kind of think about it and you say, like, well, the reason why it's so important we get this right, and 90% or close to, is because they're going to spend more time in school than anywhere else. Well, the same is true with our professions. Like, not everybody's 9 to 5, right? Like, everybody's construct is different. But your work and your professional choices are such a big chunk of your life and your time. And if you have to spend time with yourself in that space and you need to feel fulfilled, like, I can't tell you how many people in my life, friends, family, colleagues, whatever, hate their jobs. And I say that really big word because that's actually what I hear them say. And to go back to that experience I had last week, like, I was going to hate that job. And sometimes when you hate something you're in, and it's such a big word, then you don't always like yourself in that space because you do things that are outside your comfort zone. Like, you have to be aggressive, or you have to, like, find your way and do things that are a little against your true nature. So I just feel like maybe when we think about business and stress relief, the first step before even naming those emotions is to say what emotions you want to have, and then work almost, I don't know if it's backwards or forwards, to be honest with you, to work then from there with, well, let me vision board it. Say you want to be happy at your job. Let's keep it simple. And then you say, well, what are the things that make me happy? And you kind of vision board it. Okay, what of those 5 things that you just listed then makes you think it could be a profession? So if you just say, like, I like drawing pictures, I like eating cookies, like, okay, you can't do a career on eating cookies, but
Oh,
maybe
believe me, I'm sure somebody has figured it out.
you like pie eating contest, right? There's probably a cookie eating contest. Sure. Okay, fine. We'll go with that. But like, sustainable, right? So like, say making pictures or creativity is like one of those things that you write that generates happiness. Then maybe, like, just because you said you're a graphic artist, maybe then, oh, I'll go back to school and do that, and that'll generate joy. But then you press pause and you say, well, could I do something that I love? Like, can I turn an avocation into a vocation? Like, can I turn a hobby into a profession? And I made my fitness career like a primary profession for a long time because I love working out. I know that might generate some like eye rolls, and I'm sorry, but I actually do. Like, okay,
Oh,
like,
that those eye rolls are exactly what we're talking about. When you
Yeah.
say, I love working out, right? Or when I say, I love salad, people will say, oh my gosh, she's weird. What is wrong with her?
Totally.
And then they make you feel broken or wrong or something is wrong with you. And this is exactly what we're talking about. That's where the
Totally.
stress lies because you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to like that. So what's wrong with me? Why am I liking it if I don't, it's not supposed to
Right.
be like. And I love how you're like, I don't care. I'm just gonna do it anyway.
Yeah, like, I'm not your opinion. Like, I am not your opinion. Like, Hashem, you're not Hashem.
Right.
Like, not you, Barchen, but like the universe around us. Like,
I'm not, no, I really, believe me, I'm not God either.
No, we have a spark of godliness in all of us, but that's the thought in my head when I see people. And on a weekday, I don't always go here. I sometimes get hit hard from the weight of those opinions. But like when I walk into shul and someone's like, "So where are you now, Marla?" And like, and I'll be like, "Oh, well, I'm here now." And they'll be like, "Oh, you jumped again." And then I'm like, "I'm not your opinion. Hashem obviously put that in my path because he believed that I could jump around and be untouched by it, that I won't be like, oh, I have to onboard in another place." Do you hear
No,
what I'm
but this
saying?
is, you know, like you said, I'm on my way to the ideal job and I'm sitting there going, hello. It's like, I think it's everybody's dream to just be able to follow all the little crumbs that feel like, oh, that's what I want to do today. Oh, I want to change it up. Oh, I want to do this. I want to do that. And what if I do what I love, you know, to do the most? I'm in a networking group, or I was last year.
Nice.
And one of the ladies was saying how she wants to figure out what to do, but she can't figure out what. And everybody was just asking her, like, what do you love to do? And eventually we started talking about how I swam across the Kinneret 2 times. Like,
oh my gosh, that's amazing.
it is very cool. And yeah, we could talk about that a little bit more after, but we were talking about it because, like, it's a whole thing. It's a whole to do. Like, 500 women do it all together, and you start from one end and you get to the other end. And it's
That's
like,
wild.
really,
That's
really
wild.
cool. A real accomplishment. I'm very proud of myself.
You should be
And
proud of yourself.
then she says, oh yeah, I do that too. Isn't it great? And turns out I do the 2 kilometers. She does the 4 kilometers, which is 3 hours to swim. It is a long time.
Oh, I can't even swim for 10 minutes. Wowzers.
Oh my gosh, so powerful. So that's how it just started. Like, yeah, you know what I do? I love to help women who can't put their head in the water go and like learn to swim, because they get confident
So
and then they put
fun.
their head in the water and then they're, you know, able to sit with their kids when they go out on trips and it's fine and they're not afraid of the water, whatever.
Wow.
She started her business helping women put their head in the water and really feel more confident about being around water. And it was all just from that. And sometimes we don't realize how easy it comes to us and why that's okay.
Yeah, I think that's the gifts that we need to understand about ourselves, you know, and not allow the fear, that false evidence appearing real, there's another acronym for you, get in the way. Like she probably thought, like, I can't do that. I can't make that a profession, or I don't, you know, insert whatever negative, you know, self-talk that we have going on in our minds. And I think the minute we release that fear is we find a lot of space to do better and to come out of that stress response and it become like a liberating response instead.
Yeah. And you know, it's amazing. I think while we're talking about stress in business, I think in business, especially women in business who are, you know, building their entire career or their entire, you know, income on who they are and what they do, a lot of it is based on your identity.
Yeah.
And so this woman is like, but I'm a teacher. It's like, what am I going to make my business about teaching swimming? And I'm like, yes, because
yes.
You're a teacher and you're
Yes, the
able to
answer is
be
yes.
there, right? And it's so funny. And like, also I was thinking, like, even though I swam across the Kinneret twice, do not think of myself as a swimmer. And it's the most bizarre thing. I sit there going, why don't I just like talk myself into it? Like, hello, you swam, you know, twice. It's not something you did like a one-time thing. You actually did it again. You are a swimmer. And I'm like, nah, I don't know. It's
Right.
weird.
It is weird, but like, that's what's so funny to me about women. Like we can be 1,000 things at once. Like we could be mothers, we can be, you know, sisters, we could be wives, we could be professionals, we could be, you know, I know this one woman who's like a professional ping pong player and she's like 1,000 other things and she's just incredibly impressive. And I'm just thinking, you know, you are so many things. We are all so many things. But then when it comes to our own self-awareness, we are all those things. But I don't know if we're always like considerate of those things and willing to think out of the box and merge certain sides of ourselves together. You know, like I love it, those moms who like, I was one of these moms. I don't know if I was always successful, that's okay. But like, I would be like, I like making salads. I want to make some extra money, but I also really want people to be happy about eating salads. And what is the barrier to most people eating salads? That they don't want to chop vegetables and it's too labor intensive. So then I started selling salads out of my house. Like, did I like doing that? Not really, because it's really labor intensive, not only to make myself a salad, but to make 50 other women salads. But for a while, it was like a vibe, and like people picked them up in the morning. And it was like, I like hustled and made cute little names for each salad that were alliterated. And like, it's just, we have to allow ourselves, I think, to banish that stress, to be creative, to look at the different sides of ourselves, to allow that success in business. Hoping that becomes my truth too. Each time, each iteration, sometimes it is my truth. This is very much not my truth. And being willing to like not fail, because nothing's a fail, but being willing to not be ideal and say, okay, pivot.
Yeah. I love that you said fail. You know, Dave, what's her name? Hannah Mason, her husband, Dave Mason, wrote a book called Hurry Up and Fail. And it was
I like that.
exactly about that concept, that if you realize that failure is actually the stepping stone to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing, eventually leading you to more and more actions that get the result done, you're going to take a lot less time sitting and designing your first website, or stressing over the font and stressing over the color and stressing over all the different things that don't really matter. Just get it done, move on, get it done, move on, get it done, move on. And if you, the faster you fail, the faster you'll succeed. That's his basic
It's so
concept.
true. I love that concept. I mean, how many times have we read like Jeff Bezos had like 14 different businesses that failed before he came up with Amazon? Like Abraham Lincoln didn't get elected like the first couple times he went for it. Like, this is the portal to it. I mean, I don't want people to feel failure. I don't want them to feel down on themselves, but I also want myself and others to give themselves the grace of trying and learning about themselves along the way.
I feel that when you give yourself permission to fail, then that is a success. And it's,
right.
So you're like, oh, I took action. And everybody around you is like, yeah, but it was a really dumb action. Like, I don't care. Because again, you know, you're not my opinion, or I'm not your
right.
opinion.
Like, you don't dictate my truth, right? We allow a lot of people to, but what I mean, we all do it. Like, I do it myself. But then when I step away and I'm like, what does she or he have anything to do with my end game?
Right.
Right? Even like in, I don't know if you experience this as a coach, but like, even if someone comes to my class or works with me once or tries my virtual program, and like after 5 seconds, they cancel. My first thought is, what did I do wrong? But why isn't our first thought like, they really didn't feel ready for this information? And not as a criticism or a judgment. It's not their time, or I'm not their person. And that doesn't mean that I'm not everyone else's person. It can't be something for everyone, or it wouldn't be the way Hashem God intended it.
You know, it's amazing. It brings me back to that moment. We have four girls first, and then we had a boy. It was like four girls, boy, girl, boy, girl. Okay. Just for all those keeping track. So the first 10 years of our marriage, there was an obsession around the fact that we had no boys. And people were going around giving us advice and telling my husband to drink this wine and to make, you know, havdalah on that and to do this and all the different things. I could have written a book about all the advice and all the things people said. It's just absolutely incredible how people get in your face about the most random things. And I was, you know, I wasn't in a rush to have a baby boy because I was very happy with girls. And my husband wasn't
and
in a rush.
You're grateful, right?
He, you know, he got beautiful girls. But eventually when we had the boy, everybody just forgot. And I was like, wait, so all you guys made it a big deal for nothing? Like, what happened? Where's all the people who had what to say? They all just like,
oh, it's their issue. I mean, it's
no,
their
I'm
journey.
saying That's it. They just got off our back. It was like, that's all it took. Like this, now nobody gives me any advice about anything that has to do with children because I now have a boy. It was almost
So
like,
fascinating.
oh. So like, I feel like people are in your face because, oh, it's just a fun thing to talk about. You know, it's like when people don't have what
That's
to talk
funny.
about, they talk about whatever is in front of them. So they'll talk about this thing that, you know.
Right. That could contribute to stress. You know, I was told I would never have kids, right? Like, I have a number of medical things. I was told I would never have kids. I knew this from like I was 15 years old. And then I became like an observant Jew. And I was like, oh no. These people like to have babies. I'm in trouble. Like, what am I gonna do? Like, I'm gonna just be that person. And a lot of fear and a lot of like unnecessary stress. And so I met my husband and I said, you know, I'm probably not gonna be able to have children, like, but I know, thank God, in modern society, we have a lot of alternatives. And I went to doctors, and the doctors looked at me and said, don't stress. Your body has a lot of limitations, but we'll figure it out if it becomes a problem. And thank you, God. In the second month we were married, we were blessed with a child,
Wow.
which was something they never anticipated. And I feel like that's its own like personal muscle of like outside of people's opinions. Like, I don't want to be weighted down people's opinions. I didn't even get to that point, but I was weighted down by the information I was given.
Right.
And listen, they were hard pregnancies, and there was an incredible amount of risk and struggle, and I had a number of losses in between Hashem giving me the gift of three children, and then it stopped there. Like, no more for you. And it was like, I just realized that what a cool thing for a doctor to say. Don't stress. Easier said
Right.
than done, right? Easier said than
Isn't it
done.
amazing that like something you knew from the age of 15 stressed you out all those years until you
10
finally got
years, I
married?
got married at 25.
10 years of stress about something that didn't even happen in the end. Like
Correct.
everything was fine. So, wow. You know, sometimes I think of like how much are we carrying that isn't even ours? It's not present. It's not
Yeah.
real.
Right. And there are so many examples, personal and global, that we hear that embraces this. So if there's one takeaway from people listening today, it's like, you know, when it comes to stress, is to know your truth, to do everything in your power, whatever that is to you. And there's so many tools out there to lock that truth in, to honor your feelings, to say what they are. To combat the fear and the judgment and the statements around you, and use that self-awareness and that, I don't want to say manipulation, but that correction of stress, and let your professional vision soar. And that will trickle down to, I think, all the other areas of your life. I'm speaking to myself. I have not mastered this. I am like, after last week, I just keep like coming back. Crying, but then meditating, but working out, but talking to the people I trust, loving myself, but then also being like, yeah, you could really work on those things. You know, like, this is our journey, like, to figuring it out.
Yeah.
And if we stay quiet and don't do it, I never want to look back and say shoulda, coulda, woulda in a much bigger way.
Right. You know, what comes up for me a lot throughout this whole conversation is I was once in a group of Ozzie Jankowicz, Dr. Ozzie.
Oh, I know her.
She's so
She's
great. She
great.
was on my
Yeah.
podcast. She's amazing. So she had us work on our why, like get really clear what is your why. And
Find your why.
yes,
Yes.
and it is so thanks to her that I have such a solid why. My why is bring God's presence home. And it's home to ourselves, home into our homes, and home to its home. So it's like a very solid why that feels really good to me. And one of the things she said after we all found our whys was now anything that comes up has to stand up to that why. Any fear of like, what are people going to say? Well, it doesn't matter because this why is way stronger. Like, I would much rather bring God's presence into your home than have to worry about what my neighbor says about what I'm doing, right? And if I have to
Yeah.
go live and I have to, you know, talk to have on interviews or podcasts or whatever, I would much rather be scared and still do it than not do it because there is such a strong why. So there's something really powerful when you raise up the reason why you're here, your purpose, God's put you here. Go do
It's not
it.
by accident, right?
Not by accident. All these other opinions and people and chatter and whatever noise will never match what's actually putting you here.
I love that. And I think the liberation also comes in the simplicity. Like, it's these lines that we know are our truth, but like living that truth. And just what you said, like, finding your why and bringing Hashem into your home, those are like the best roadmap, in my opinion. You know, like, and it doesn't have to be the same for every person. And this is also, I think, where we find our people. Like, for a long time, I spent a lot of energy on people because I felt like they kind of matched. Like, my kid goes to this school, so they need to be friends with these people. So I, in turn, need to, invite those relationships into my life. And I kind of like, bet myself into a pretzel to be able to be part of that. And I'm not saying be like totally different, but like, be unapologetically you.
Yeah.
And even if that doesn't completely align with your kids' friends or your work, colleagues or your shul, members, okay. Like, Hashem didn't create us all the same for a reason. We're tribal people who have all these like different, quirks and perks and all of it in between.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, when you, I think we, you just said it, you wrapped it all together. It's like, how do you get rid of stress in your business? Become more authentic, be you, because then you don't have to be like anyone else and you don't have to fit into anyone else's things. You just do the thing you're here to do. It will actually pull you up naturally and sort of make you, rise to the top just by being you and who you are. So gets rid of a lot of stress.
And when you're authentically you, then there's a confidence that comes that's attractive to everyone around you. Like, I'm not telling you if you work at like some hardcore corporate environment and, business suits are non-negotiable that you should walk in, in your Technicolor dream coat and like just start singing songs. But what I am saying is that like, if you find that authentic version of you and wherever she is in whatever spaces that it serves best and is appropriate, and then you in turn love yourself, then that's a very attractive quality. And I learned from doing it the wrong way, of trying to be someone I'm not and realizing this is not a happy person. And then once you're happy and authentic, the stress removes, the business thrives, I hope, and so
yeah.
on.
No, it's totally true. It's amazing. It's really powerful. Super powerful. This was such a fun conversation.
Thank
Tell
you.
everyone where they can find you and how they can work with you.
Thank you for asking. So on Instagram, I'm Shulamit Miriam, which is my Hebrew name. My virtual fitness program is MindBody 20, all one word, but with the number 20, mindbody20.com, both fitness. And then there's a coaching system on there. And I am available by DM on Instagram, Marla Rottenstreich on Facebook, and excited to support anyone who listens to this and sees me as possibly a helpful vehicle to supporting them. And Bachan, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the opportunity to schmooze and get to know you and keep doing the holy work that you're doing. It's inspiring to me and I'm sure so many other people.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. This is so
thank
great.
You. Thank
Worked
you.
out amazing.
I
was so happy.
Totally. Likewise.
Yes. Everybody who's listening, thank you so much for coming. Make sure you come back next week for another amazing episode about stress. We're going to wrap it all up with stress and you. So that's going to be really fun. And don't forget to be connected for real.
And that's it. Thank you for listening to the very end. I would love if you can leave a review and subscribe to the podcast. Those are things that tell the algorithm this is a good podcast, and make sure to suggest it to others. Wouldn't it be amazing if more people became more connected for real? And now take a moment and think of someone who might benefit from this episode. Can you share it with them? I am Revetzin Batren Grossman from connectedforreal.com. Thank you so much for listening, and don't forget, you can be connected for real.